Just wanted to quickly add that it's amazing to see the way the Apostle Paul, through the Spirit of God, confronts very directly the specific attacks that were being made. Men will write books and books and books about how Jesus was a good person, but he wasn't quite God, how he was a created being, as these were the attacks that these saints in Colossae were experiencing. People were coming in, and as we heard earlier, and as mentioned by different ones, they were trying to add to the person or the work of Christ. And he, in just words that all of us can understand, most of these words are not more than two syllables. All things were made by him. Very simply, he created all things. So he wasn't a created being, that is the Lord Jesus. We don't need to add to him in any way at all. And he's the image of the invisible God. Again, as we were saying, he's not just some God or a form of God, but not quite God. He is in himself very God and very man as well. And these are the things that the attacks that Satan was making then are not different than the attacks that he makes today. We are having individuals around us that may confront us with these different thoughts about the person or the work of Christ. And are we prepared to simply say, to point them to these verses that have two and three syllable words and don't need the resources and the books by men that would go into all different types of teaching to clearly say that Jesus was very God himself and that he is the one himself that he has created all things. So we have to be, again, and just to reemphasize what's been coming out time and time again, we need to understand what Paul has said concerning the Lord Jesus, what the Spirit of God has said, so that we can be able to combat the same enemy that's trying with the same attacks to lessen the person and the work of the Lord.
Are we willing to fully dedicate who we are and what we are to what this is? As it says, that you may be filled with the full knowledge, the true knowledge, it says later, to be filled all the way, not just a little. All of us, I think, understand to some degree what's in these verses. We've read these verses before. We probably have these verses memorized. But that knowledge that we have of these verses, which do contain the full knowledge that's spoken of, do we have that full knowledge? Are we willing to allow God to show us what it is?
What the apostle is bringing forth is the man, Christ Jesus, his person, his glory. And this is what he wants to present. And so he is presenting Christ in all the truth of who that person is. We, as believers, we grow in understanding of who he is. As we appropriate these things, they become more and more real to us and have an effect in our Christian lives. But here, he's coming the opposite way. He is putting the man before us in all of his glory. In all of his person, his creatorial glory, in the power of his redemption, and all of that he's put before us, and then we look at that, and that becomes the object. He becomes the object of our faith that will lead us and guide us to exactly into our practical Christian lives.
Another thought is, and I would hope that I'll be corrected if I'm in error. Another thought. A lot of people think that Christ is maybe, not quite fully God, like a demigod or somehow less. And maybe one reason why people may mix this up is the idea of Son of God. We have to stress right now that it is not like in the sense of a human, but it is stressing the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. So God the Son and God the Father are both fully God. God the Son is subject to the Father. So it is bringing out the relationship that is between them. And that is just why he's referred to as the Son of God, or God the Son, is the relationship between them. Not necessarily God the Father having a Son in the same way we would see it in this world.
I think what is set before us, because this is a letter that is written to the saints. The world certainly has a perspective or view of who the Lord is. But this is a word of challenge to us. I think what Brother Alex is saying is that we're familiar with these verses. We're familiar with the fact that the Spirit of God is bringing before us in verse 15 and 16 that this wonderful person is the Creator. He is the one that called the world into being. You know, the scope of who He is and what he's done just by the virtue of speaking, we've read these words. But I think what Brother Alex is saying, and I want to challenge us a little bit more along these lines, is that we have to understand that as far as God is concerned, this one who is given in the Word of God, the connection to having made this world and creation, that everything starts and ends with Him. For it was made by Him and for Him. It's sustained by Him, right? This connects Him to creation. He is, the Lord Jesus is God. He is the eternal one. And from eternity to eternity, He is God. But God became a man. And He wants us to understand that this man, who God looks down upon, the Father, is saying to us, this is the one I want you to be occupied with. This is the one that in spite of the challenges that comes from the enemy of your souls, that everything as it concerns God's counsels, His will, it's connected in this man. So if it's creation, well, He's outside of creation. He made these things. If it's thrones and principalities, that has to do with governmental authorities, says He's above all those things. And then He says, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist or subsist. He is the one that even by the word of His power, when He was a child, He was upholding all things by the word of His power. This is the Supreme One. And so when we come into the presence of one who is supreme overall, that should have the preeminence, what consequence or result should that have upon me? Practically speaking, young people, you know, look around this room. Brother Chuck said it earlier. Some of us are sleeping. Some of us, stayed up late last night. Some of us are perhaps lethargic and indifferent because I've heard these things. But God is setting before each of us the supremacy of Christ. And if you are a Christian, you are going to be challenged in your life concerning what you believe and the knowledge that you have of this person. This is serious business. And if we're not developing knowing the will of God concerning the Lord and the walk that He wants us to have that is pleasing to Him, you know what will happen? We will fall and we will fail. But when we have Christ before us, when we see Him in all of His authority, His beauty, and we give Him that rightful place, you know what? We produce fruit that is pleasing to God. That's what we want to set before us, young people. That's the challenge.